Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live on the air and online right now, so if there's an issue you'd like to discuss or a Bible question we can answer, we invite your call right now. The number, 844-322-2742. Again, toll-free in the U.S. and in Canada, 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, everybody. Now here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. Here's the good news. Jesus Christ is alive. That's the privilege that we have as believers that we can say and communicate to folks that we know. Mm-hmm. And why that's such a powerful statement is because it speaks to the deepest need that each of us have. You know, there's so many people out there struggling with guilt and shame, and I was certainly one of those guys, and probably both of you guys were well.
Never had any guilt in my life.
No comment.
Boy, guilt and shame just become friends, companions. They just travel with you all through life.
You don't know what to do without them.
No, absolutely not. So we want forgiveness. We want somehow to shed those burdens of guilt and shame and that sort of thing. But that's only, you know, surface issues. There's something even deeper than that. And it's the fact that we're dead spiritually. I know there's many people that, you know, go through life and they have this feeling of emptiness. They just sense that something's deeply wrong, you know, at the very core of who they are. And those things are true. Those feelings are true because something is deeply wrong. There is an emptiness. We're dead spiritually. And the resurrection, the fact that Jesus Christ is alive, meets and addresses that need. Through his resurrection life, we can be made alive. I know there are many people, and there was a guy named Calvin that called our broadcast a number of years ago, and boy, he described spiritual death to a T. And he felt this incredible sense of emptiness, but he didn't know what to do to fill that void. And so he tried lots of good things. He tried lots of bad things. Eventually, the pain just became so overbearing. He turned to alcohol and drugs just to get numb from it all. He prayed, "Lord, please change me, you know, make me a better person," all of that sort of stuff. And nothing happened. Those prayers seemed to go unanswered. And then he called the broadcast, and we were able to tell him about the resurrected Christ and that the deepest need that you have is to be made alive in Christ. And there's only one way for that to happen, and that's by grace through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And that day, he received the Lord, and things started to happen. The change that he so desperately wanted and desired started to show up in his life. So if you're out there struggling, thinking God's not hearing your prayers, maybe you're missing the wrong need. Maybe you're praying for something that God wants to do something different, and that's to give you life. And once you have life, then you can count on change to happen. As we've talked about time and time again, it's first life, then change. And that's the way it is. And that's why this resurrection of Christ is so vitally important to us on a day-to-day basis.
You found Basic Gospel. We're glad you did. If you would like to pose your question or introduce your particular subject to discuss, why, give us a call at 844-322-2742. The lines are open right now. The calls are coming in, 844-322-2742.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to Long Island, New York, and talk with Dominic. Hi, Dominic.
Hi. God bless, Pastors. The thing I want to explain or wish or should be corrected is Christianity is not Catholicism. Christianity is actually the Protestants who rebelled against Catholicism or the Pope. And the Pope is certainly not a Christian.
Well, Dominic, as far as, you know, the word Christianity, it's been around for a long, long time. You know, believers were called Christians at Antioch the first time that word was used. And so the phrase Christianity was attached to what these Christians believed. And what they believed was the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Jesus is, you know, Christianity. Without him, there is no such thing as Christianity. Without the fact of his resurrection, you know, all of it just goes by the wayside. So it really ties to the person and work of Jesus. That's what distinguishes Christianity from every other religion. And his claims, I mean, Jesus claimed to be God. There's no other founder of a religion out there who claimed to be God. No one out there says, come unto me. Jesus is the only one that says that. And he does so time and time again in the New Testament. And that's the distinguishing mark. Now, that belief system has morphed into what we know as Catholicism, and then Protestant things, and then there's all kinds of different sects on the Protestant side, particularly. But what we have to get back to is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. There's not going to be Catholics in heaven or Protestants in heaven or anybody else, only people who have been born again of the Spirit of God. That's the distinguishing mark, the fact that Christ has come to live inside of a person because of their response of faith, of the grace of God that was given to them in Jesus.
The Roman Catholic is what I'm trying to say. The Pope is a Roman Catholic, and it was the Romans that killed Jesus. So he doesn't get to say that he's a Christian. He could call himself a Roman Catholic, as they have been.
Well, Dominique, I don't want to get into all of that. I don't know the Pope. I don't know what his belief system is and where he stands on the person and work of Jesus Christ. I just don't know that. But here's the deal, Dominique. Jesus died to take away the sins of the entire world. We were all sinners. We were all dead spiritually in need of life. And it's not our religious affiliation that saves us. It's Jesus that saves us. And that's what we need to understand. That's why the resurrection really is the heart and soul of the Christian faith. Without the resurrection, we're still dead in our sins, hopeless and helpless, with nothing out there to give us hope at all. So. Well, Dominic, thanks for your call. We appreciate it. Well, let's go to Kurt, who's listening to us in New Jersey on WMCA. Hi, Kurt.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
All right.
How can we help you today?
Given conditions in the world today, both the economics, with the price war on oil, and Russia and China the economies are on the verge of collapsing, and ours isn't doing the greatest. And the conditions that are going on in the Middle East, how far away are we from the prophecies of Ezekiel 38 and 39?
Well, Kurt, an interesting question, and I don't think anybody can give a very clear or concise or really good, accurate answer. We just don't know. I mean, every single generation, they've looked at the times and all the things that were happening, and every generation expected Christ to return in their generation. The same is true today. We are looking at incredible happenings around the world. We're looking at what we would say prophecies that have been fulfilled. I can tell you this, Kurt, we're closer today than we've ever been. And I don't think anyone would be surprised if Christ came back tomorrow or within, you know, the next 5 years. I think the conditions are ripe for that, don't you?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, so it seems like his return is imminent. Like I said, could be tomorrow, could be today, could be before this broadcast ends, and wouldn't that be
glorious? Please.
And so I think that puts a sense of urgency in us as far as believers in Christ to want to get the message of Jesus out there so that others can come to know him and be prepared when Christ returns. And that's the big question of the day. Are you prepared for the soon return of Jesus? And the way to get prepared is through faith in the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. There's no other way to be prepared for his coming.
I agree with that. And I also subscribe to that.
Yeah. Well, Kurt, be a voice out there.
Yes.
Let people hear the message concerning Christ. It's only as people hear the message concerning Christ that faith happens. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word concerning Christ, and that faith leads to life everlasting. That faith is what prepares a person for the soon return of Jesus.
Yes.
Well, Kurt, thanks for your call. Wonderful question today.
Thank you.
Yes, indeed. Open lines, friends, 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher, Richard Piper. My name is Bob Davis. We're glad you've joined us. Again, the toll-free number, 844-322-2742.
Well, let's go to Braden in Boise, Idaho, listening to us on KBGN. Hi, Braden.
Hey there. I called last week on Thursday, and I had just had some questions about the baptism of Jesus and just some other LDS questions along those lines. I was a former LDS member, and I left the church this year. And I'm confused on a lot of different topics because growing up in that religion, I guess certain terms and terminology, from now my understanding, is completely false. I was taught that baptism was something that was mandatory in order to go to heaven. I was taught that you had to be married in the temple to go to the celestial kingdom. I was taught all these different things that I don't believe in anymore. And so my brother, he's still LDS, and he brought up the fact that Paul, after Jesus was resurrected and ascended, that he went among people and were baptizing them. And he said, why do you think, Braden, why do you think that they were baptized if baptism isn't mandatory and Jesus didn't teach that? And I couldn't answer that because I guess growing up in that, I was never exposed to an answer towards that, if that makes sense.
Well, Braden, let me point you to a passage of Scripture in 1 Corinthians. It's the first chapter of 1 Corinthians, and Paul actually addresses the baptism issue. And starting in verse 13 of 1 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul asks this question: is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Were you baptized into the name of Paul? I am thankful that I did not baptize any of you. Did you catch that? Paul said, I am thankful I did not baptize any of you except Crispus and Gaius, so no one can say that you were baptized into my name. And then he says, yes, I also baptized the household of Stephanas. Beyond that, I don't remember if I baptized anyone else. Well, if baptism was of such significance that it was the door that opened for you to gain entry into heaven, Paul would have remembered everybody he baptized. I mean, he would have had a baptismal record. I baptized this person, this person, this person. He would have had dates. He would have had names. But here he says, I don't remember if I baptized anyone else. And here's the reason: for Christ did not send me to baptize. Did you get that? Paul said, Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with words of human wisdom, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of its power. So Paul was sent to preach the gospel. He wasn't sent to baptize. So what that tells you is that water baptism is not a part of the gospel message. The gospel message is the death, the burial, the resurrection, the ascension of Jesus Christ. That's what the gospel is. And so when we respond to that by faith, we're saved. We're baptized spiritually, born again of the Spirit of God, and we are placed into the body of Christ. That's what spiritual baptism is all about has nothing to do with water baptism at all.
Well, I really appreciate you answering that question. One of the actually other scriptures he brought up was with Nicodemus coming and finding Jesus, and Jesus saying that he had to be born of water and of spirit. Could you clarify on that topic by chance?
Well, I think I can. The book of Titus, it's back in, you know, the back part of the New Testament. In chapter 3, he says this, "But when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of the righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and the renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ, our Savior." So the washing is symbolic of the rebirth, the fact that our spirits have been born again, and renewal by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes and takes up residence in our lives. So again, it has nothing to do with water baptism. It's the washing of the Spirit of God that brings our human spirits alive in Christ, that regenerates them once and for all.
That's really great. I really appreciate you clarifying that. That was exactly what I always wanted to hear. Was that, did you say that was in Titus?
Book of Titus, chapter 3, starting in verse 4.
Okay. I really, really appreciate that.
Yeah.
So I have actually one other question.
Okay.
So, being LDS, we were taught that there were three figures in the Godhead, that there was the Holy Spirit, God, and Jesus. Can you clarify those for me, of what the standard Christian would believe?
Well, we certainly believe in the Godhead, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. We believe that they're co-equal. You know, it's one God manifested in three persons. So God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And I think the difference between Orthodox Christian belief is the fact that we believe Jesus Christ is fully God and fully man. I think within the Mormon faith, the LDS faith, Jesus was a man, and he climbed the ladder into godhood through good works. So it started with his baptism, and then he climbed the ladder and became deity. And so we follow his example. The teaching of the LDS Church would say, you follow his example, and if you do what Jesus did, then you can climb that ladder, and you can become a God yourself and rule and reign over certain things in the afterlife. Did I capture that pretty well?
Yes, that is completely what my past understanding was, and that I don't believe in that whatsoever anymore.
So Jesus isn't somebody that became God. He always existed, was always with God, and was indeed God himself. And so he became a man. He condescended to us. We know that as the incarnation. He became one of us. He humbled himself to the point of death, so that we could be made right in God's sight. So he was always God. He became man in human flesh, but fully God, fully man in that form.
I understand. Can I possibly just ask you one more question? I feel like I've gone on for a while now, but you're answering all of them like spot on, like how I was hoping that you would.
Go right ahead, Braden.
So like you were saying, like that, if the way that I was told that this was proof for the Godhead being that they were completely three separate beings was that Jesus's baptism, the Holy Spirit, manifested as a dove, and then he heard God's voice above him. And so they said that right there in that same chapter, there were three distinct people, that wouldn't be the case if it was just one person. So that was evidence for it being three separate people, if that makes sense. So what would be the, I know that if I had said what you had just told me to my to my brother or any other LDS member, they would say, oh, well, look at this scripture here. What would you do? How would you clarify that for somebody that just gave that example?
Well, Braden, what I would do with that is simply direct the conversation to Jesus himself and
yeah.
to the claims that he made about himself, because ultimately it gets down to this. What will you do with Jesus? If you just look at Jesus as an example to follow, in other words, he you know, climbed up that ladder and became this God, and if you do the same things, you can do it, then you are in a works-based salvation. You are working to earn your eternal life. But if you believe that Jesus is God and became one of us and sacrificed himself so that our sins could be taken away, then salvation is grace-based. It is God reaching down to us and doing for us what we could not do for ourselves. So one belief really hones in on a man's pride. Said, hey, I can be just like Jesus. Well, that's what Adam and Eve said in the garden. I can be like God. Well, no, we can't. we can't. He's God. We're humans. He's the creator. We're the created beings. Jesus was the creator. We're the created beings. And yet Jesus became one of us and showed us how to live in dependence upon him, that faith walk. So the gospel message is by grace through faith. The LDS message is workspace. You work hard, you can earn your position in the afterlife.
See, and I think that's great. You answered all my questions that I have today. I really appreciate it. I can't thank you enough. I love listening to this radio broadcast, and I appreciate having you help me clarify some of those questions.
Yeah, well, Braden, thanks for calling. Sure. And, you know, for you to step out of the LDS church, it takes some guts.
It absolutely does.
It takes some courage, but you were overwhelmed by Jesus. And you, in seeing Jesus for who he is, you couldn't do anything else but say, I'm gonna trust in you. And that meant separating from your family as far as a belief system and being ostracized from them in some way, shape, or form. So it takes courage, but Jesus Christ is the real thing. And in him, you found the real thing. So keep letting him embolden your heart and give you the courage to stay with Christ. And he will give you ways to communicate back to your family. Just give him time to ripen up the hearts of your brothers, whoever else is in your family, and he will give you an opportunity to speak to them in a way that will connect.
Absolutely, and I agree with that. I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, I bet you are, Braden. Keep praying for them, and you call anytime. This was great conversation, compelling radio.
Well,
so thanks. We appreciate
thank
that.
Thank you.
All right.
Have a nice day.
You too.
Well, Bobby, you and Richard know we're only 9 days away from entering into the fourth and final quarter of this year. Talk to us about the need of the ministry between now and the end of the year.
Well, the need is huge. Almost 40% of our annual revenue comes in during the fourth quarter, so it's a time of generosity. We're praying that our listeners, our donors, our basic gospel partners will be especially generous this particular time of the year. We need more basic gospel partners, more people who can stand with us to get the word out and help people like Braden to be able to communicate
exactly
the good news back into his family. This gospel message is the answer. Jesus is the answer. So come join us. Be a part of what God is doing through this outreach.
And thanks to each of you who partner with us to keep the good news coming. For your gift of any amount this month, you're going to receive a copy of Bob Christopher's wonderful series, The Power of Eight. Just click donate on any page at basicgospel.net. That's basicgospel.net. Or speak with our operator at 844-412-2742. Well, thanks for being with us today, everybody. Now, for Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to be with us again tomorrow for another live edition of Basic Gospel.